4 years of infrastructure a week, but it failed. He failed. On my watch, instead of infrastructure week, America's having infrastructure decade. Decade.
Is this an infrastructure?
Over $1.3 trillion. Trump just talks the talk. We walk the walk.
How much money? Can we isolate that and just have that for forever? A million trillion billion?
America's a failing nation.
A million trillion billion?
Decade. Over $1.3 trillion.
That is some super fantastical math.
How much is that, actually?
Well, we feel like we should do the calculations. That's a lot of zeros. And give that to me, because I'm going to play that in my sound machine. Literally, I'm going to abuse it to where people are going to be giving thanks to God that this weekend's. Because I'm going to play that nonstop. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Getting the week started. It's Christmas Eve week, right? It's the Christmas Eve week of Christmas Eve. Wait, you get it.
That makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah. So welcome to the program, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. And you can also, follow along YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So I was thinking about this. I'm like, there's really no good way to get the show started when you got a soundbite like that, because that's our money. That's our dollars. That's all of our monies. And he's the way that he was counting and talking about, we're going to spend money on this because they're throwing money at rail. He's promising our tax dollars to a whole bunch of stuff. Even The Hill, the conservative bastion, even they were saying, wait, what? How much money is this? So he's in Vegas. He's announcing, they love trains. He's announcing $8.2 billion in new federal funding for 10 major passenger rail projects across the country. And then that's when he said it was over $300 million. Wait, $300 million? I mean, I know that sounds, you know what? You know how everybody's made fun of me because I literally invented frillion.
You sound like Trump with caravan.
Caravan is what was said. I invented that term. How dare you?
You didn't do
how
anything of the
sort. How dare thou, sir? So this is like $11 trillion. 11T is also a real number. I invented that too. That's a real $11 trillion. I'm pretty sure that when you add it all up, I just put it in my calculator and that's what it was. It was that amount of money. But why are they so obsessed with trains? Like, what is the thing with the left? Have you noticed this? I've mentioned this before and I make fun of it, but I'll be damned. They prove me right every single time. Every single time. They're like, well, let's just, you know what we need? No, we don't need water desalination plants. No. No, we don't need to improve our grid or, make sure that we have some, back channels. None of that. No. You know what we need? We need more trains. Yeah, trains. I mean, I guess in some instances, I think that trains are an obsession of people who are, an obsession that people have. If people are obsessed, they think that they're trying to retrofit old world kind of European approach to travel and modify that for the expanse that is the U.S. And not everything works everywhere. The way that public transport works in like Italy or England or whatever is not the same as in the United States. Like, for instance, the way that, stuff works in New York or doesn't work, doesn't work the same in, say, Dallas. I mean, it's just different. But they all think that they can, it's like a one size fits all thing. So, and then he also said that he traveled more miles by Amtrak than Air Force Two while VP, which was a lie. I don't know how many times they have to debunk this. So we just, we're just throwing money at everything. Joe Biden is like the big spender in the champagne room and all these government agencies are thirsty strippers. And that's how he's treating it. He's just in there dollar bills, y'all. And it's all, meanwhile, the taxpayer like, that's our dollar bills. No. And this is what they get out of it. So that's what he was doing over. That's Friday, right before we were kicking off into the weekend. 8.2. I just like the math. I just like the math of it. Now, speaking of Biden's, I didn't realize when we first talked about this on Friday and we were playing these sound. Well, we played and soundbite, and I got to come back to it because I just really want to make fun of this. Everybody and their brother has a podcast. Now, I'm not saying it's like every parent, every woman that had a kid had a blog at some point. I know, I recognize the irony of this. But Moby has a podcast, Flippin' Moby. Kane, I barely remember who he is. He was big when I was in school.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, what does he do now besides be bald and cantankerous?
Podcasting.
For what?
He's got things to
What say. Does Moby do in everyone's sitting? Who at a podcast business was sitting around going, you know whose opinions we would like to hear in a long form, boring format? Moby. That guy. Really? Wasn't he sort of... I always thought he was like the great value version of Fatboy Slim, in a way. Norman, what's his face?
Yeah, they're in the same genre. I didn't think of either one of them as any sort of value.
Honestly. Yeah, it was never really my jam.
I mean, he did. I think he sold like $20 million.
Oh, I don't
worldwide,
even care.
Moby.
I just like who's sitting around going, I really want to hear Moby's opinions. And then if you're Hunter Biden, you're gonna go talk to Chex Notes Moby. You're going to go, hang on. I should have done this before. Let's see, is this a Moby? Golly, I can't believe I'm typing this. What's this going to do to my search results? So nasty. Moby podcast. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, for instance, this is the stuff that this is how they advertise it. Because it's called Moby Pod. Of course it is. Dumbest name ever. Have you ever wondered what it's like to tour with David Bowie? No, not if the guy who did it is Moby. No, I don't care. I actually don't. But he talked to Hunter Biden, and that's why everybody. And that's when Hunter Biden was like, "Yeah, they want to kill me. See, they want to kill me dead. See, he's like talking to him about all this stuff, and saying that it's everybody else who is to blame for all the stuff he's done." And I saw this one soundbite. Hang on, I'm pulling this up. I saw this one soundbite that I guess this was CNN or MSNBC. Where the Hunter Biden's attorney went out and was saying, well, you know, really, the reason that we're seeing all of this is that it's because people are biased towards him. 15. Yeah, listen to this. Audio soundbite 15. This is Hunter Biden's attorney saying that there's literal bias. It's because you guys are biased against their precious baby family. Listen.
It's because his last name is Biden, but it's not like they're going after, you know, some distant cousin. It's because he is the son of the president who's named Biden. The Republicans and anybody else that's been investigating on the right-wing media, for example, have tried and tried to say that President Biden has done something wrong. They can't find a shred of evidence because he hasn't. And yet they want this to be an issue. And what they've successfully done, because they go out on the airwaves and people don't understand the difference between truth and misinformation, is okay, basically so, saying, okay, I can't get the president.
It's because of bias. So if I'm to understand this correctly, pointing out that Hunter Biden, the president's son, so pointing out that he traded influence and spent CCP cash on hookers and blow, that's evidence of bias against him instead of criminal activity. Don't you love, I mean, this guy's, he's almost clever by half. The reason why it's news is, as his attorney said, well, they're only going after him because, you know, his last name, because he's the president's son. Actually, one of the reasons why it was so easy to figure out his offenses is because he's the president's son. And one of the reasons he was able to commit and this, which I think he's engaged in criminal activity. I'm not claiming to be the judge and the jury, but this is pretty beyond Occam's razor even. That this guy was trading influence and I think selling out national security of the United States as it pertains to energy deposits, particularly, and getting fat off of CCP cash. I mean, my gosh, they were giving the dude diamonds. They gave the dude diamonds. He got sports cars. He got diamonds. He got cash. What all did he? I mean, this is just the stuff that we know of that has leaked out. because of whistleblowers, because of the financial investigation, because the family was being so shady with their financial movements that the bank thought that it was a suspicious activity. They triggered it as such, kicking off automatically these suspicious activity reports and subsequent investigation. So he's trading on all of this, and that's somehow evidence of bias against him instead of evidence of maybe perhaps criminal wrongdoing. And somehow, because he's the president's son, this is what the irony is. They're claiming that they're going after him because he's the president's son, while simultaneously trying to invoke the fact that he's the president's son as a veneer or as a shield against any kind of investigation. I mean, ultimately, you could argue that that's probably perhaps why Joe Biden was even running for re-election, or maybe even ran for office in the first place. It's something that dudes, old dudes who like to not debate and campaign out of their parents, out of the basement, instead of going around and falling on flat surfaces and upstairs and everything, that's what they like to do. Instead of, you know, maybe realizing that a member of your family and perhaps you yourself were engaged in impropriety and therefore have to be called to account. So I just think it's hysterical that this is, it's evidence of bias against him. Well, he used the bias as a way to skirt the law. So if anyone is demonstrating a bias, it's Hunter Biden. Good heavens. So that's his, yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, at some point they're going to, I don't know what kind of charges he's going to get, but at this point, there's a lot of stuff there. Now, speaking of the Bidens, one of the big things we're going to talk about is this NewsGuard thing. You guys remember hearing about NewsGuard. This is pretty, it's a company that scores websites on, I guess, the trust factor, right? You guys remember the whole, this came, I think it was first announced, wasn't it first announced with that Nina Jankowicz lady? So NewsGuard built itself, it called itself the Internet Trust Tool, right? It was like the ombudsman for websites and for any kind of website that you could classify as an information distribution center, for the lack of a better way to put it. And it seems like, there's been some lawsuits filed against it. Ken Paxton, The Federalist, Daily Wire, and others, because they were saying that the outcome was that the state, because the Biden administration was paying it, they were funding it, that it could render disfavored press outlets unprofitable. And it was suppressing particularly conservative voices. This is, absolute, that's Pravda. We're going to talk about this here coming up. We got a lot of stuff to hit. People who help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Wise Foods. And Wise Foods, if you're prepared with whatever life throws your way, well, good, because the last thing you want to worry about is where your next meal comes from. And if you're not all the way set, then this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. You can save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit. Get free shipping only at preparewithdana.com. Get a 2-bucket 4-week survival food kit, 2,200 calories plus 64 grams of protein per day. It's a 28-day supply. All food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, all freeze-dried, dehydrated, super easy to prepare. Just add water, and it has a 25-year shelf life. So order yours today at preparewithdana.com. Save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit plus free shipping. Just visit preparewithdana.com.
We are getting our pockets picked as we send billions of your tax dollars to countries like South Africa to stop burning coal. Are they cooperating? No way. What's the climate agenda's next goal? Going after methane. Be prepared to get our pockets picked once again. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, tornadoes in Tennessee. There are 6 fatalities so far, at least, in Nashville and Clarksville, about 40 miles to the northwest. They said damage was reported in several areas across the state. There was also a lot of damage in Kentucky, but they said at least 6 were killed when the tornadoes carved a path of destruction on Saturday. They're picking up right in Montgomery County. I think is where they had 3, Clarksville is where they had 3 fatalities. The victims were 2 adults and 1 child. And they said 23 were treated at the hospital for injuries. Congress, I had this headline for you already, 7.5 on EV charges, 2 years, none built. Canada's surging cost of living has fueled reverse immigration. Interesting. So according to Reuters, And the prime minister has kind of addressed this. They said that they're trying to blunt Canada's big challenge of an aging and slowing population. They said that the Canadian population has been driven up its fastest clip in more than six decades this year. They said there's a reversal trend taking hold and people are leaving. They said the rate of people leaving Canada is at a two-decade high. Yeah, probably because you got little Castro up there who's making it horrible, I would imagine. Sears is coming back. Did it ever leave? Did Sears leave ever? Isn't that where everybody goes and gets their lawnmowers? Didn't everybody go to like Sears and get tools and lawnmowers? Wasn't that the thing? That was like the big department store where you could literally go in and you could get lawnmowers, family portraits, and some clothes. It was like the department store Walmart, wasn't it? Anyway, long story short, apparently they've reopened two stores. I don't know if opening two stores is enough to say that there's a comeback. It's one of the oldest retailers in the country. But they said that they're apparently 2 months ago they quietly reopened in Burbank and then in Union Gap, Washington. So Burbank, California and Union Gap, Washington. And they said that it's kind of, you know, the way that it was. And, you know, there were some people in there shopping, according to reporters that visited. But it's kind of wild. But they still got all the appliances. They got all the stuff. There's some nostalgia about that. I remember spending a lot of time in there as a kid in the hardware section. Yeah, I remember that. This is part of growing up. Yeah. And Tucker Carlson has launched a new subscription-based website. We got a lot more to hit as we quick break. We got Iowa. We got to talk, have an honest conversation about the polling. And I want to win in 24, but I'm going to lay it out honestly. Stick with us. This is a USA company. They use USA ingredients, and they don't test on animals, and it's paraben-free. This is all stuff. I mean, maybe you have things that are important to you. These are all huge things that are important to me when I'm looking for products. But one of the biggest things that I think that Nimi Skincare does is they understand that women have different skincare needs. A woman in her 20s needs different things than a woman in her 30s. And a woman in her 60s needs things that are different from a woman in her 40s. Nimi Skincare understands this. They don't spend the time virtue signaling and trying to sell women products using men. They don't get into all of that. They don't. In fact, that's why Nimi Skincare was created, because they realized there's going to be a real problem for women in women's skincare products here coming up. So we need to fill this gap. So they have some really great, right now they have a winter bundle and gift cards. This is a great Christmas gift. I use the moisturizer, the moisturizing cleanser. That's the thing that I use that actually is one of my favorite things to use. So I deal with eczema. And I have to be super careful what I use, which is why all of the chemicals and all that stuff is incredibly important to me. So if it's clean on my skin, then if you don't have issues, then you're definitely not going to have issues. It's made right here in the US of A, and all of their products are 100% guaranteed. They're packed with proven ingredients that repair and revitalize the skin. Now, you can save 10% off using code Dana. And with Nimi Skincare, you don't have to compromise your values to have great skin. Visit NimiSkincare.com, NIMI, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you. Thank you.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I'm not going to be endorsing President Trump, obviously. I've made that very clear. Look, Chris Christie has done a terrific job so far. I think his being in the race has kept Donald Trump from coming to the debates. Because I think Donald Trump recognized if he went to the debate with Chris Christie would reveal him for what he was, and Trump would be badly hurt, so he stayed out. But Nikki Haley, she's rising. Right now, I think she's the only one that has a shot of becoming the nominee other than President Trump. DeSantis. It's a long shot in her part, but she's the one that has a shot.
He really doesn't like DeSantis. He hates DeSantis, Mitt Romney. Keep in mind, DeSantis was one of the House Freedom Caucus guys who came out of the Tea Party. And he went against Boehner and all those guys. And Mitt Romney was running in 2012, because I was right there in all of it. He was highly critical of all that stuff. And he never created a good relationship between himself and those cats. So, yeah, that man keeps a grudge. That man holds a grudge. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. He's also wrong. But there's a system in play. I want to be really honest with you about the Iowa polls, because there's an NBC poll that came out. Now, maybe you'll like what I say. Maybe you're not going to like what I say. I'm going to tell you what it is, what I think. I'm going to give you insight, not opinion, on this kind of stuff. Because my dream, I want to win in 2024. I will I will riot. I don't know. I want to win badly in 2024, to the point where people who are being stupid and like the leadership of the RNC and create a very frustrating obstacle. You know, I feel like that's exactly what it is. It's an obstacle. I have issues with that. And I think we really, that's something we got to deep dive on coming up at some point. But I want to win in 2024. And I am very, very concerned because I feel like a lot of people are being baited and played. They're being baited and played hardcore. Now, this new poll that came out, I was looking at it. Let me just tell you. So Iowa, if you don't understand, let me lay it down. You have early states that have their primaries and caucuses, right? And those states ultimately determine after a candidate goes through that rush, right? After they rush those early states, after that, then you kind of have, you know, at least a front runner for the nomination for candidacy. And that's why I always say it's a delegate race in the very beginning. And that's all they're focused on. And Iowa is the first state. Now, people who win the Iowa caucus don't always necessarily go on to win the presidency. I mean, for crying out loud, Ted Cruz has won the Iowa caucus before. I mean, there's a lot of examples of people winning the caucus, but yet not winning the presidency. This election is a little different. And I think because everything that I think it's there's a lot of dynamics that have changed. One thing that hasn't changed is the sucky state of polling. One thing that you have to realize, excuse me, and this is perhaps one of the most important things to recognize in politics right now, is that polling is an industry. Much like you have lobbying as an industry, polling is in itself very similar. It is its own industry. There are too few very scientifically based polling firms. And then when you even look at aggregates, a lot of the aggregation will exclude like state polls or this type of poll or that poll, and they all have their own certain rules for inclusion. Everyone is competing to be kind of like the standard, right? The gold standard. Everybody competes. But there isn't really a firm that is the gold standard. That's why they're so completely unreliable. You can have candidates that hire firms to do surveys, and then they will use that as a way to set narratives. And the media loves to cite, well, this survey says. They like to cite it like it's just absolutely unquestionable scientific data. And that's not the case. The polls were wrong. The polls were wrong in 2016. That's where you got the whole silent majority that came out of that. The polls were wrong in 2016, guys. The polls were wrong in 2018, guys. The polls were wrong in 2020, guys. The polls were wrong in 2022, guys. At what point, when the hell did we start believing in polls? When? There were a few polls that were correct going into 2020 that didn't show a red wave. And they were smaller, they were from less known firms, and they didn't get a lot of attention. And they had small sample sizes, and I get it. It's a little tough to do that. You also have to, there was this big narrative of red wave in 2020 that did not manifest. And then you also had this problem of split ticket voting that was developing beginning in 2018 and then really exploded in 2020 that Republicans don't know how to deal with. They don't talk to their voters about. And because the Republican Party doesn't know how to deal with it and they don't talk to their voters about it, they encourage the voters to accept that the presence of split ticket voting and the inability to explain the results of that somehow means the existence of absolute undeniable fraud to the point where it can change the outcome of an election. Now, it is a real thing, and it's something that the RNC is garbage at dealing with, and they've had since 2018 to deal with this. Now, split ticket voting is when, like in Texas, this changed in Texas. Like, we used to have one ticket vote. No, we don't have that anymore. That was a court battle, and in Texas, that's changed. I noted that back in 2020, and this is a kind of a result of that. You don't have any straight ticket voting in Texas anymore. And after you eliminated straight ticket voting in Texas in 2020, you ended up having John Cornyn, senator, who got more votes than Donald Trump in Texas. And Texas is considered a red state, correct? I live in the most conservative district in the state. And I was looking at actual hard data. I had was getting numbers from the Secretary of State's website. I was talking to independent pollsters, people who were working elections, all this stuff. And a lot of people say, well, it's fraud, it's fraud, it's fraud. Now, there is fraud. Don't get me wrong. The question has always been, is it enough to change the outcome of a very decentralized election designed specifically to prevent that kind of outcome? And in Texas, the result of John Cornyn, who is a very moderate Republican, getting more votes than Donald Trump is a result of split ticket voting, not fraud. That's only part of the reason. The second part is voter turnout. Republicans are their own worst enemies when it comes to voting. There are more Republicans than there are Democrats in a number of different states. Like in Georgia, the reason we lost that special election and the Senate is because Republicans didn't show up. Now, I know the unpopular thing that politicians are told, never do this, never blame the voters, never talk about the voters. The voters are to be, we're all to be treated like precious little babies, right? We're not precious. And you have to take accountability for the future of your own country. I literally know people. I have family in Georgia that didn't vote. I found that out quite by accident. I was like, what? You're a registered Republican. There were a lot of Republicans that didn't vote, like a million of them. There were a lot. Republicans are their own worst enemy when it comes to voting. The turnout, if even 75% of the Republicans turned out to vote every election, the turnout would be such that it would overwhelm any kind of decentralized shenanigans. But we're not seeing that. That's not the case. Now, in Texas, like I said, you had split ticket voting. You had people who voted Republican down ticket, but at the top, they either didn't vote, they voted for somebody else, or they did a write-in. That's what happened in Texas with Trump, is that split ticket voting. The Republican Party, again, this is, we saw this coming up in 2018 in a number of different states, and the Republican Party had no answer for it. They still have no answer for it. How do you deal with that? And then secondly, it causes people to have a conversation that they do not want to have. Why did people vote that way? Now, if you even engage in this conversation, political operatives have trained you to think that that is a betrayal. And there are political operatives on the right. And the reason I'm calling it out is because I view them as an obstruction to victory in 2024. When you as a party cannot sit down without emotions like the left and have an honest conversation about why you're trailing here or why split ticket voting is suddenly a major issue for your party or why we're having these issues. How can we strengthen our soft spots? How can we harden those? And how can we have a, how can we clear a path to victory when your party is too afraid to have that conversation because they don't want to tick off other people in the party? That is a problem. That is a bigger threat to victory in 2024 than Democrats. The Republican Party is scared of its own damn shadow, and that is more powerful than anything that the Democrats could do. You have the RNC leader who doesn't want to do anything because the RNC leader got their job because of a politician. So you can't, they can't be honest about it. I want to win in 24, and I don't give a hot damn with whom. I have my preference in the primary. I will not apologize for being an American and living in a country where we have a republic-style election system that uses a democratic process and we enjoy freedoms that people have fought and died for. I will never apologize for that. We don't live in a monarchy. We have a republic. But I want to win in 24. But I also want to do everything I can in the meantime to make sure that it is an absolutely rock solid ticket in 2024. And this is where we're getting into the polling. In 2022, the red wave never materialized. Virginia, remember how I said a few weeks ago, the election of Virginia was a bellwether? Everyone thought that Republicans were going to take the House of Delegates and they were going to take the Senate, and you had Youngkin as a governor. And I'd said that, well, Republicans, really, if you look at the polling, they had actually overperformed in the previous election due to COVID and a lot of the stuff in the schools, because that was one of the ground zero places. And that the way that the election happened recently is a little bit more in tune with the voter makeup there. And then also you had redistricting, which really didn't go in a Republican's favor. But I said Virginia was a bellwether. You had a couple of other elections where it was thought that Republicans were going to perform well and they underperformed. People, the Republican Party is leading you wrong. And they're afraid to say anything because they don't want to make candidates mad. They don't want to make the former president mad. They don't want to make Republican operatives mad, because it's become a popularity contest instead of a party of leadership. You have more people I don't dislike Romney McDaniel. I don't. I've met her in person, but this is about the business of the country. So my saying is that this is show business, not show friends. And the business of the country is telling me right now that RNC leadership is failing. And no one is willing to stand up and say, okay, knock this stuff off. Can I do a case in point? You're going to get mad at me, but I got to say it. I saw a tweet. It was something that the president had put out. And he had said that, I thought it was kind of interesting, because he was kind of going after, I guess, Cruz and Josh Hawley in Missouri, saying that, oh, their primaries could get very, very interesting. It's what he had posted on his platform. And then there's an account on Twitter or X that reposts that stuff that Trump posts on his platform. Basically, it's Trump saber rattling. He's mad that he doesn't have an endorsement from Ted Cruz or Josh Hawley yet. I don't think that you can threaten a Republican candidate in a primary in a state that you lost the most conservative district by 2,000 votes. Ted Cruz lost the district I live in, lost the county I live in by 2,000 votes to Beto O'Rourke. It's the most conservative county in the state, and Ted Cruz lost it. The problem is bigger than that. And I don't think that Trump can threaten primaries against Senate candidates or senators for not endorsing him if he couldn't even carry the state against John Cornyn. I'm saying that to say, in 2024, I want to win, and I don't want candidates making mistakes for themselves. I don't want them making problems for themselves that they're going to have difficulty in getting over later. I don't give a hot damn about someone's ego. I don't care about kissing their butt. I want to win in 2024 because I firmly believe that this is it. I'm not saying that for radio. I'm not saying that for clicks. That this is it, guys. You will never be able to claw back. The country will be irrevocably changed. Freedom once lost is lost forever. We have a lot more on the polling of this. And a lot more to come. But I'm telling you, people got to get over the emotions of this. If you want to win in 24, we have to have serious conversations, and we got to be generals, not soap opera stars. So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? I mean, incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Now, Google's defense is that incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked, and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of those data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana to learn more.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And all the studies show, by the way, you get from point A to point B faster on a train than their car, they take the train. They take the train.
What? People get from point A to point B faster on a train than their car. They take the train?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
There's a lot here. This is when he was in. This is when he was in Vegas pitching his billions of dollars for the rail system. Yeah, go ahead. You're just dying over there.
We know now he has trouble with numbers, and
can we hear the numbers again?
Transportation.
Are you sure? Are we sure? Is it just such a large number that it's difficult for us to?
It is a super large.
Go ahead.
Number.
Go ahead. Play it. That number again.
4 years of infrastructure a week. Over $1.3 trillion.
Was he trying to be funny or did he just like...
No.
Did he short circuit?
Or he just isn't very bright.
I don't know, man. It gives you all the confidence in the world, doesn't it?
No,
it doesn't. All the confidence in the world. Yeah, he's just a puppet. All right, so coming up in our second hour, we got a lot of stuff to hit still because we're getting you set up this week. On deck, the latest, we've got the latest with Israel and how Hamas is threatening to execute hostages, and a ton of different college or university presidents are stepping down. We're going to talk about that. We're going to also continue our conversation on polling. So we were establishing some things just last segment. We got some new stuff to hit regarding polling, Iowa, the primary, and 2024. Stick with us, a lot more on the way. Our friends over at Hillsdale College want to wish you a Merry Christmas and thank you for all of your support for their amazing institution this past year. As you know, Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties, and they hold true to that mission today. So their students are able to pursue their academic studies and engage in really robust and good will academic debate on all the issues that we're told to, you know, we have to be brainwashed to discuss anymore today. They teach critical thinking, not critical race theory, at Hillsdale College. So they have a special video featuring their sacred music choir singing A Little Town of Bethlehem. You can access that only at dana4forhillsdale.com. It will definitely get you in the mood this Christmas season. And again, they just want to thank you for supporting their mission. And you don't have to attend Hillsdale to take advantage of everything that they have to offer. When you go to dana4hillsdale.com, where you can see their choir singing, you can also access a ton of free resources there. So you don't have to be on their college campuses to take advantage. You can be anywhere in the world. Just access it at dana4hillsdale.com and check out all of those free resources to help you celebrate the season. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Republicans would argue, many of them, they're not calling to completely shut down the border, but as you say, to make it tougher to get through. If you look at the poll numbers, the latest Wall Street Journal poll shows a whopping 64% of people disapprove of President Biden's handling of the border. Does that add pressure on you, on Democrats, to get something done here?
Well, listen, I'm not paying attention to the politics here. What I know is that the future of the world is at stake. If we fail, if Republicans don't get reasonable in the next 24 to 48 hours, Russia is going to march into Ukraine. China is going to be given a green light to invade Taiwan. The world for my children is fundamentally different under that scenario. The United States security is at risk. So I am just beside myself that Republicans are playing games with the security of
the really
world.
You sound like it, actress. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you. I'm just absolutely beside myself, said Chris Murphy, with no soul. Second hour, top of the second hour of the program. He's speaking of it's the NDAA bill that there's nothing good about it. I mean, it includes everything from taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control to taxpayer-funded gender surgery, bits and pieces, realignment, whatever that is. That's what I'm calling it. And, a pittance for the border, just so that they can say they threw something to the border. It's just a disaster. And so Senator Chris Murphy saying that, well, you know, Republicans are holding out for border security. And while they do that, he's essentially saying that if they are wanting to fight for border security, that Russia is going to invade Ukraine. What? I can't. You know what? If you disguised his voice, when he's talking about Russia and Ukraine, it would almost sound like Nikki Haley. It would. Did I welcome everybody back? Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Top of our second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the program. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. The border, the bill, absolute garbage, like I said. And no, Russia's not going to march into Ukraine. It's not going to happen. They're going to have this. They're going to have the fight over their disputed territories. And I know that Zelensky is going to be, isn't he? He's going to be in D.C. asking for more money. And whether or not he gets it, I don't know. But I feel like we've given so much. I'm tired of it's not our responsibility to fund this. And furthermore, I think that if where are these other European nations, the United States, for so long, everybody has kind of looked down on the United States out of jealousy, really, because, you know, an economic powerhouse, a military powerhouse. And whenever the fit ends up hitting the proverbial shan, the United States is the one that is always demanded to, all the other countries in the world always demand that the United States respond. United States has to deal with the Middle East. United States, oh, you have to pay for Ukraine. You have to send more money than anybody. But yet remember the fight over NATO nations meeting their bare minimum 7% GDP to boost their own security. That was just to improve their own sovereign defense. And they were balking at even doing that because they expected the United States to continue footing the bill for everything like they do with the UN. We don't need to send Ukraine anything else. If they need money, then they can go and ask the leaders of France. They can ask the UK. They can ask the blessed European Union. Go and ask the European Union for your alms. Really? I mean, what does the EU do? I mean, besides, you know, ruin national sovereignty and encourage a free-for-all and et cetera, et cetera. What do? Nothing. That would be that should be the response of our administration, but it's not. Which China is a whole other issue. At least he recognizes that there exists an issue there. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about all of this stuff coming up. But I'm telling you, the NDAA, as we talked about last week, bad. And then you got Zelensky coming for this big push. I think he is here this week. He wants more. How much money does he want this time? I was looking. I'm pulling my notes. I mean, another what? 11D. What's the number that Biden said? Yeah. What's that number? All those billions. He wants that many billions. He wants a lot of money. Exactly. Not going to happen. Now, with regard to the latest with Israel, so now you have Hamas threatening to execute hostages. That's the latest, because the IDF has been going through. They've been eradicating these strongholds. You've had a lot of Hamas members have to crawl out of the shadows, out of the tunnels like rats. And they were so upset when they were had their hands tied behind their back, and they were stripped so they could check to make sure they didn't have any explosive devices on them. All the people that were so mad about the way terrorist fighters were tied up and forced to kneel while in their skivvies. I don't recall the outrage from those people over, for instance, the bodies of the kidnapping victims paraded around in trucks where people would spit on them. I don't remember, like that Shani Luke, I don't remember anybody being that. All these same people that are upset over this, I don't recall the outrage from those people over her body in the back of a truck, and her leg was in such a contorted position. She'd already been killed. Don't remember their outrage over that. So you had the Hamas spokesperson from his cushy palace in Qatar who said that he called Israel's leadership arrogant, said that they're not going to get hostages back alive without an exchange, a negotiation, and meeting the demands of the resistance. They're not the resistance. They're not. They're the colonists. They're the colonizers. So now they're threatening to execute the hostages. I think for every hostage they execute, they should execute 100 Hamas fighters. line them up, and let them drop. I mean, if that's, look, war is hell, and this is a consequence of it. There are people who want to comment on it that just don't have the stomach for it. It's horrible. It's horrific. But you want to keep people safe, and you want to stop this stuff. Brutes only recognize brutality. This is, this is the way of the world. Now, in the meantime, stateside, I don't watch SNL anymore because it's cringe. SNL's just dorky. It stopped being cool, I think, when I was in college. It just, actually, maybe in high school. It hasn't been cool for a really long time. It hasn't been funny for a really long time. They apparently had some kind of cold open sketch where they were mocking Elise Stefanik. Remember, she was the one leading the hearing last week where she was questioning a number of these university presidents, including UPenn and Harvard. And they were trying to, they were mocking her, not mocking the presidents in the sketch. They were mocking her. And a lot of people were saying that they, I mean, they started getting a lot of criticism. And they apparently thought it was funny to mock the questioning of university presidents that were trying to excuse calls for genocide. That's not funny. So they're they're making a mockery out of the people who are demanding that Jewish students on campuses around the country be protected. And not, because there is, I mean, there's absolutely, I mean, we've talked about whether it's University of UPenn, whether it's Harvard, whether it's, what was it, Columbia, Wisconsin. I mean, there's tons of them. And they were ridiculing her. Like, one of them was, she was screaming anti-Semitism, yay or nay. And she just, the unfunny chick playing her just kept screaming it over and over again. I mean, these people are just not funny. They're just not funny at all. And so now there's a lot of outrage directed at SNL. I haven't watched them in forever. When they got dumber writers and they stopped being funny, I haven't watched them in so long. When's the last time you watched them, Kane?
It's been a long time.
I don't even know who's on anymore.
Clips here and there on social media or whatever, but for the most part, I have not watched Saturday Night Live. Sat down and watched it in probably more than 3 years.
I think only. Well, who are the parents of boomers? I think those are the only, that's the only demo that watches it anymore. I think their average age is like 95 of their audience now. I mean, I don't know who watches them anymore. Nobody watches them. But that's just, it's just so, gosh, it was just so goofy. But I saw like a couple of clips. I'm like, this is so stupid. Now, in the meantime, those presidents, UPenn, let me pull this up, this is from NBC, UPenn's president steps down. And then Liz McGill, she voluntarily stepped down. The chair of their board of trustees, Scott Bach, also stepped down. And this was after that disastrous testimony that she gave last week. She tendered her resignation, Bach said. She's going to remain, however, a tenured faculty member at Penn Carey Law. So it's not a full V for victory. She's still a tenured faculty member at Penn Carey. So, not entirely. Now, in the meantime, while she's stepping down, you also, the calls on Harvard's president still grow. There's a lot of them that are now, whether or not this changes the approach and the esteem that everyone has held these universities in for as long as they have, that perpetuated this like cyclical, it gave these universities so much power to reprogram students, and then they unleash this hell on the world. I don't know if this is going to be enough to change an approach. So much, I think, hinges upon 2024. So much of it does. Now, the Hunter Biden indictment, if that ever comes out, if he's ever indicted on all this other stuff, we were saying earlier that they were claiming that this was all about bias, et cetera, et cetera. But it's also really, really bad for the Biden administration. Well, duh. It's bad for them because they're going to have to try to finagle this. I don't think we're going to dive into some of the polling a little bit later. I'm going to be honest with you, because the polling was wrong in 2016. It was wrong in 2018. It was wrong in 2020. It was wrong in 2022. And I have no evidence to believe that all of a sudden now the polling is accurate. I think that if Biden was trailing as badly as they say he is, they would have switched him out. You can't sit here and tell me that a deep state powerful enough that would change or affect an election is not powerful enough to switch out Joe Biden. For real. I don't buy that, do you? So you can't have it both ways. It's got to be one or the other. That being said, I think if he was really as behind as he was in the polling, they would have already switched him out. I mean, they have the ability to. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how they changed their bylaws to accommodate a brand new, to get it to have a challenge, you know, to switch out their candidacy. I mean, it's true. But whether or not they do it, I think it depends on a lot. I mean, there's a lot of factors at play. So I don't believe the polling, because I don't believe all the other times that the wrong polling was wrong. And I don't think that there's no evidence to suggest that it's correct for me. I do think people are getting baited into this. I think that the media is baiting you because the media wants to choose Republicans' candidate and strategy and response. And too many people are falling for it. Like a lot of these like hucksters out there that they think that they're basically, Al Sharpton level grifters, but they think that because they operate on the right, that somehow gives it a veneer of virtue, and it doesn't. And they're playing along into this too, because there are people that want to maintain power adjacency. All of a sudden they started getting invites to cocktail parties, and they believe that pure chance and luck of the draw is somehow equivalent to skill, and it's not. And there's dangerous things afoot. People are being baited into doing the media's will. We're going to talk a little bit more about that coming up, because we got to talk about the issue. We started discussing split ticket voting. I've mentioned this before, and a lot of you have asked about it. And I had said, you know, as we get closer to the primaries and caucuses, I'm going to start diving deeper into it, because I don't want to. I just don't want you to be so exhausted by the topic that when it's time and it rolls around, that you just don't even care. The voter fatigue is a real thing, and I don't want to play into that with all of you. But it is a real situation, split ticket voting, and the RNC has no plan. Yeah, you should be worried. Absolutely should. We got a lot on the way. Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently the devil people are just making a display inside of the Iowa State Capitol building. They call themselves the Satanic Temple. And so they have it set up. This is wild. They have it set up there. They said that it's their right of religious freedom. And if you don't like it, don't look at it. And it looks hokey, if I'm being real. They said we're a federally recognized group anyway. But they have a whole display up there. And by the way, KCCI, Des Moines, Channel 8, CBS affiliate, your pop-up ads make me want to punch your website in the neck and kill it. Just to let you know, right? Your whole website with the pop-up ads is literally a satanic display. But anyway, they have it set up like right in the middle of the, their state capitol. And doesn't it look hokey? I mean, it's like what? They have a bunch of candles. Are they even light up candles, or are they those battery operated LED ones? And then they have like what? A cow skull with a red cape. I mean, it looks so cringe. It's like what an 80s metal kid would think that it would look like. And that's what they have it set up as. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just so goofy. Anyway, so moving on. They said they have a nudie beach on Lake Washington. They're not going to get a playground. Apparently, they were going to put a playground on this beach, but they decided, wow, it's right by a nude beach. Maybe we shouldn't do that. It's in the city. It's in Seattle. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have that. The community was right to have some backlash. Don't scan a QR code that could lead to identity theft, warns the FTC. Stay with us. We got the gender fight and more. Free radio brought to you by our friends at Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service in existence. And with Patriot Mobile, you can depend on your service. I've traveled around the world with this service, and I have never had to worry about any kind of interruption, disruption, or anything, because it's just great service. In fact, with Patriot Mobile, they offer, I think, a coverage on all three major networks, dependable nationwide coverage. You get the best possible service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. Like, you're not funding the things that you vote against every time you go to the ballot box. Now, right now, they have their Black Friday promotion still ongoing. You get a free smartphone with code Friday76. Now, this is a limited time only. I do not know how much longer they're going to have this. So I would make the switch today. It's very limited time. Again, free smartphone using code Friday76. And when you switch, not only are you sending a message that you support companies whose values reflect your own, but you're also working with a company that also signals that they want to employ U.S.-based customer service teams. They want entirely American jobs. You're helping to maintain and create new American jobs, and they make it so easy to switch. Keep your phone and your number. You can upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. Just make the switch today. That's all you need to do. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Friday76 to get your free smartphone. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, there's a mental health crisis around the world, Jake, that we hear people talking about. I think that one of the main reasons for that is that young people look at the fact that we are not yet solving the climate crisis or dealing with some of these other challenges. And we hear this word thrown around, polycrisis. Well, solving the climate crisis is a poly solution. We know what to do. We have the means to do it. And we have to make sure that we make the right political choices in our democracy to enable ourselves to make the right choices.
Why is he still out there?
It's Al Gore. Like, you guys needed to know that. Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour. He's just so punchable. Well, it's young people, you know, Kane, they're worried about the weather. They're worried about what the weather forecast is going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and then to say nothing, Kane, of Man Bear Pig that is out there running amok. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, like, all the anxiety is out there just because of the weather.
Because of the weather. Because they're upset that, you know, they see that we're not solving the climate crisis. Wait, what? Like, what?
Just when you think they couldn't blame something on climate change, they go and do it.
Oh, no. They blame everything on climate change.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, if they trip and fall, like on a flat surface, like they're in their kitchen, oh my gosh, the weather. I always thought that, you know, the generation that's coming up is upset because Al Gore's generation, and by Al Gore's generation, I'm talking about the Democrats. People get very touchy about this. I'm not coming after my conservative boomers, okay? So stop. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Not all y'all conservative, come on. But like the Al Gores of the Al Gore generation, thanks to his policies, none of the people who are coming up can buy a house. I read this headline where it said people are going to be renting into their retirement at the way things are going. That's crazy. That is crazy to me. No, that I would think that that's kind of, you know, the what Democrats did with the consolidating everything with college loans, driving up the price, making it super expensive. I just kind of think that all of that is way more. That's probably what's giving them a mental health crisis, not this pervert who is talking about the weather all the time. I mean, nobody's upset over the weather, Lunchbox. Nobody is, okay? Nobody's upset over it. Al Gore promised to put all the old people's money into a lockbox. Remember that? Except what he didn't tell you was there was a hole drilled in the bottom of it where he could get the money out. That people are upset because economic policy. They're upset because wages aren't keeping up. Inflation, it's not keeping up with the cost of goods. The cost of goods has increased. The price of energy has increased. Everything is more expensive. And the good news that they're thrown like breadcrumbs is that you're saving 16 cents on your hot dogs, your 4th of July picnic. You're saving 16 cents, like, on a whole package of hot dogs. Not, like, per hot dog, a whole package. And that's all they have. Well, just don't worry about renting all the way up until you're... Why does he talk like Forrest Gump? By the way, why does he do that? He sounds like Forrest Gump. I mean, people are just... You know, the reason you're upset is because of the weather. And he's a grift and a half. How long has he been doing this? I mean, I've been in college. He's been doing this whole time. I thought all the polar bears were going to be dead. I thought all the ice caps were going to be melted. I was told there's going to be no more ice in the world. Everything was going to be melted. What else was I told?
It's supposed to happen by 2013. And that came and went.
Yeah, there's ice up there still. We still got polar bears. What happened? Oh, it was all BS? Oh, that's all right. So, I don't, that's why people are upset. They're going to sit, really, climate. I think that for some people that are scenesters, I think that they really get wound up about the weather. I don't care. Life is short. Life is too short to make everything crap. It's not how I said it on break, but that's the saying. That's the new saying of the show. We're not doing new year, new me. We're doing new year, same old us. Pound sand. Hashtag your hashtags. Deck my halls. That's what we're doing.
Why we're not doing t-shirts? I have no idea.
Well, I've said, you know what? Aggravate Chris on Twitter. Go aggravate him. Because your girl is stretched to the Supermax. She's stretched to the TJ Maxx here, okay? Go aggravate him. Go tell him. Be like, yo, get them t-shirts up. What are you doing, boy? Come on. Go aggravate him. I'll retweet it. I highly encourage you. I'm all here for the chaos.
I have a proposition for what we put on the t-shirt. I haven't used this drop in a long time.
I'm out of give a damn juice today. Yeah, that's what I'm out of. I'm fighting mild laryngitis and I'm out of give a damn juice. And also deck our halls. What?
Never have enough of that give a damn juice. Always seem to be lacking.
No, I mean I start off with a lot, and then you have people like Al Gore, and then you got all this stuff. And you got everybody slap fighting, and you got operatives that are trying to have giant phallus measuring contests over Iowa and everything else. And I just sit back, like I don't really have a dog in this fight. I mean, except for the country, you know. And I don't like commies, but I mean, everything has been the stupid has been cranked up to a heretofore unseen level. And that's kind of drained our give a D juice game.
Yeah. That makes really sense. Has. That makes sense.
Right? It really
has. It
does
evaporate quite quickly.
Exactly. Speaking of Iowa and everything else, we've been talking about polling and all this. Nobody wants to have these conversations. And if I have these conversations and I always get some like anonymous accounts that were just created, I'm so sure that's so organic. Nobody can tell it's a fake bot account. Nobody, it's not like we haven't been on the internet and Twitter since 2008. Nobody knows this stuff. But people get mad at you. And by people, I mean these bots. They don't even like you talking about it. Or like with your, you know, I'm going to tell you all something. I'm not going to sit here and tell you who to vote for in the primary. I told you all who I like in the primary. I have my life and you have yours. And while I would hope that we would all come to agreement on a number of things, and it'd be great if everybody agreed with me all the time. Also super creepy. Actually, that would be really creepy if everybody agreed with me on everything all the time. But I'll allow it. Vote who you're not betraying America by having your pick in the primary. Primaries are a function of this American republic. Anyone who says otherwise is a commie, including if they have an R after their name. Only commies don't want you to have a choice in a primary. Only commies want to want you to disavow your primary choice. Do whatever the hell you want in a primary. Just realize that 2024 is our last shot. I say that with all seriousness. But you're going to have to come to terms with, you know, just prepare yourself for your 2024 experience with your primary selections. Now, this being said, Iowa, I don't, this poll that came out in NBC, Iowa poll, I think it's garbage. Here's why I think it's garbage. All the polls have been wrong going back to 2016. They said the red wave's not going to happen in 2016. Oh, what happened, a red wave? 2018. We were told, oh, there's probably going to be another one. No. We had a lot of split ticket voting that started. That didn't happen. 2020, the red wave didn't manifest. The 2022 red wave didn't manifest. All the polls have been wrong. Furthermore, everything in Iowa comes down to ground game. You have to have a good ground game. Whoever goes out and kisses babies and shakes hands and does what they call retail politics, those are the people that do very well. The people who have a ground game in early on. Now, regardless of my preference in the primary, I think the people that have had the best ground game have been DeSantis and then Haley and then followed by Ramaswamy. And then I think Trump literally only, his campaign, they only had like two people there. And only like a month and a half, 2 months ago, did they realize, oh, maybe we need to get more of an infrastructure in this state. And that's incredibly important to have. You can't just assume you got to have that ground game. We got a lot of new voters now than we did in 2020, new voters even from 2016. Now, people who win the primary don't necessarily go on to win, or who win Iowa don't necessarily go on to win the presidential primary. So that's important to note. That being said, I don't believe that, I don't believe the lead. I don't believe any of the polling setup. I also don't believe Biden has this. I don't think any of the polling is correct in measuring where he is, because if he was as bad as they said, they'd be switching him out already. But with Iowa, and as we talked about last hour, if you want to go back in the podcast archive and listen to it, you know, it is an industry. Polling is an industry. But you had the debate, you had the DeSantis-Newsom debate, which had like a million more viewers than the town hall that Hannity had the subsequent week, the next week. You've had Kim Reynolds' endorsement. She's the most popular elected figure in Iowa. She has a huge approval rating, favorable rating. So that's another, you're telling me the needle hasn't moved from now, from this point, the needle hasn't moved from where it was like 6 months ago? I don't believe that. That's garbage. And a lot of this stuff is very sus. But I also think that, you know, people are being baited into behaving in a certain way. NBC was part of the partners with this survey. So I'm questioning, I'm like, I feel like they're just trying to set you up into thinking that certain things are inevitable so that they can be inevitable in 2024. That's how I view it. Now, that being said, you know, a lot of this stuff with the polling and the split ticket voting, and people get mad if you, not everybody agrees on fraud. And I told you, I follow evidence, right? I believe fraud exists for sure. I mean, hell, I've had to fight the Board of Elections because I had somebody who was illegally and fraudulently registered to vote in 2016 at my address, voted for Hillary Clinton at my address. Like hell was I allowing that to stand. But I would, the stuff that I had to do, the stuff that you got to go through to prove, like you can even prove that you live here and as someone has never lived at your address, and that's not good enough. That's wild. That is bizarre to me. You can even prove that someone has never lived at this address. So it's not even an issue of someone just not updating their address and mistakenly voting. I mean, you can prove that, and they still, it's a huge fight and it takes a very long time. So yes, I don't need lectures about fraud because I've been doing this since before 2008, and I know very well that fraud does exist. But the question isn't whether it exists, though. That's not the question. The question is it to such an extent that it can alter the course of an entire election? Now, we have very decentralized elections purposefully to prevent that from happening. And that's why every state runs their own election. And then with those states, you have your counties that run their elections. And whoever is, you know, the party that's in power, those are the people that end up. That's why Democrats, whenever I see cities that have, you know, polling machines not working or their voting machines not working or their polling places, they have long lines because they don't have it set up properly. Well, that's the party in charge. And typically those are Democrats that make a mess of them. So, you know, you It's all super decentralized for a reason. But split ticket voting will rob Republicans will rob themselves. I said this before. The biggest threat to Republican votes are Republicans. Turnout, split ticket voting. Where's the RNC with all of this? There's no solution. There's no answer. Furthermore, the other thing that the RNC needs to do, and not really the RNC, this is what the Trump campaign needs to do. And coming up, we're going to talk about some of the legalities. Lorraine has been following this every week. There's going to be an indictment of some sort that comes down. Now, I've told you before, I think the New York stuff is stupid. The New York stuff is a witch hunt. The Mar-a-Lago stuff, that's the only thing where the classified docs thing, that's the only thing where I could be persuaded because of existing statute. But there, regardless, there's going to be some indictment that comes down. I think the campaign needs to explain to people, well, this is what we're going to do if we go to court. This is what we're going to do when we have a trial. This is what we're going to do if we have a conviction. This is how we're going to handle all of this. I've not heard anything from that camp on this. And I, as voters, don't you feel that you're owed that explanation? You would be owed that explanation from any campaign, from any candidate. I don't like this idea that you're too small or inconsequential to have that explained to you. So what is the campaign going to do? Why the hell has nobody asked him that? Why has nobody asked his campaign that? Everyone acts like people are so damn precious, you can't even ask a question. That's not American politics. That's the same kind of mindset that we have with Hunter Biden. You can't question Hunter Biden. He's a precious baby, 50-something-year-old man. That's not how this works. We got a lot more on the way as we roll towards Florida Man. And our partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. They make the best cup of coffee that is out there. Everything else is just garbage. I told you we're shopping for a new espresso machine because ours totally bit the dust. And I'm having to drink this nasty, ridiculous garbage. I get out the French press. To do my Black Rifle coffee because I can't stand like the pods and all that stuff. It's just all the other stuff tastes stale. Black Rifle Coffee has the absolute best roast out there. And right now they're having the Buy More, Save More sale. So from December 4th through the 13th, you can get 20% off if you spend $50, 25% off if you spend $75, 30% off if you spend $100. And all of that stuff is applied right in your cart. And you can go and check out their subscriptions too to the coffee club. When you become a member of Black Rifle Coffee Club, you get 30% off your first subscription order with code Dana, which is awesome. This is the best way to get high quality coffee roasted right here in America that from a company that is owned by veterans that employs veterans in active duty as well. Premium coffee for people who love America. No shipping fees either for the coffee club. Never run out of coffee again. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted here in the US of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, boy. A Florida man claims that the Joker-like character from GTA 6 is, that's Grand Theft Auto, is based on his likeness. He's looking like the Joker, so he's, it's not really his likeness, is it? The Florida man says that the Rockstar Games owes him money because they made his likeness, like the character's likeness, like him. His name's Lawrence Sullivan. He goes by the name even of Florida Joker online. Wait a minute, you can't, this is so stupid. He's demanding $2 million from Rockstar Games because he looks like the Joker. Who owns the Joker? That's like somebody else's intellectual property. That's copyright. So he can't claim that he's oh my gosh. That's like that one episode of Cops when the two chicks got in a fight in the street and one of them called police because she said that, well, that lady stole her crack rock, and the police on camera are like, crack's illegal, right? And she's like, yeah, but ain't stealing illegaler? It's the same thing. It's the same thing here. You cannot claim that property that is not yours is being infringed upon by some, oh my gosh, they probably actually paid DC, right, to license that, I would imagine. Rockstar Games did. So yeah, he says he wants to talk to the Scottish developer over the use of his likeness. He goes, y'all took my likeness. You took my life. Well, it's not even yours, you turd. It's not even yours. Some people are so stupid. Let's see. An 11-year-old was arrested. He reported a fake school shooting in Florida because he just wanted to go home early. That's real. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Look, the rate is slowing, but prices are still high. And so when you ask people, okay, the jobs market is strong, yes, they acknowledge that, but their income isn't keeping up with inflation. And that's that immediate pocketbook impact where you see such big numbers say that.
Because prices are still not back at those pre-pandemic levels.
Right.
No, nothing is. And inflation, housing prices are so bad right now. My gosh. I was reading some statistics from Wall Street Journal where I think it's the difference between, what is it, $1,000? When the average monthly new home payment when Biden took office was $1,787. The average monthly new home payment today, $3,322.
Nearly double.
Wow. And it's not getting any better.
But Bidenomics is working, Dana. It's working for everybody.
I mean, when you see the difference between the cost of leasing a home versus having a mortgage payment, you see it now. I mean, good grief, it's just an astronomical difference. So, I mean, I don't know how anybody can look at those numbers and think, I'm still going to vote for Biden or I'm going to vote for Democrats. I don't know how anybody could think that. I don't get it. And that goes into what I was looking at on how, you know, people are going to be probably younger generations paying, you know, into leases, paying a lease all the way up, renting all the way up until retirement. Prices are rising and there's not enough homes to go around. They said the national median existing home price rose to about $392,000 in October. That is the highest ever for that month in data that goes all the way back to the 1999. That's crazy. And the Fed's been trying to push back on inflation by raising rates, but mortgage rates slipped about 7%. That was last week, the lowest in a few months, but they're double still. You can be like, oh, yeah, they're the lowest they've been in several months now. But it's double what it was 2 years ago. That's significant. And these rates are adding up. I mean, just a couple of points up, and that's like thousands of dollars of interest over standard 30-year loan. That's like thousands of dollars over the life of that loan. So your dollar's not going as far as it normally would. So now you can see, I mean, good grief. This is why people are leasing. So they said that the average age, the median age of home buyers, so back in 2002, the median age of, and this is the National Association of Realtors, the median age of a home buyer was around 30 years old, right, in 2002. The average age of all buyers, that was the first-time home buyer, 30-year-old first-time home buyer. The average age of all buyers was 35. Repeat buyers was 40. Now, in almost going into 2024, the average age of the first-time buyer is 35 and climbing. The average age of all buyers is 50. And the average age of repeat buyers is almost 60. That's crazy. That's insane. You will own nothing. That's the whole point of it. You will own nothing. What is, I think, the first time in young buyers, those are the ones that are really sidelined by all of this. They said about a third of the buyers this year were first-time home buyers. That's below the historical average of 38%. That's from Wall Street Journal. The median buyer, as I said, what, like now is like 35? That's the second highest on record. That 30, it peaked in 2022 at age 36. And so a lot of people are just not even saving for a down payment. They're just, and a lot of it, the cost of buying a home has risen so much. The premium, they said, what, by 175% or more in Seattle, Austin, Texas, and some cities in California. Everybody's moving to Austin and Nashville. I was like, the stuff that you get, I'm shocked at how overblown prices are for homes in Austin and Nashville. Because everybody's leaving New York and California and they're all moving to these states. There's parts of Florida where it's getting like that. So I'm, and they said too, the Wall Street Journal notes that the usual tricks of controlling this stuff aren't working. They said when interest rates obviously rise, you know, buyers, they'll turn to the mortgages that offer lower rates for the first, you know, few years, the adjustable rate mortgages, and the cost of those have risen sharply, but they're still a little, only a little cheaper than fixed rate mortgages. So this is, they're in a bad way. And this, this portends some, not a lot of prosperity for future generations. Not really. You have people not saving to buy a house. That's how a lot of people build wealth, is property ownership. And people are getting really sidelined by all of this. So when I say that 2024 is it, I mean that more ways than one, like economically also, not just with foreign policy, but you know, economically too. Just bad. This is horrible. And now you have, and you also have the smaller amount of homes available too. Remember with, what was it, during lockdown and all of that, house prices, that there was so much low inventory, housing prices just like exploded. I remember people talking about selling, oh, I could sell my house and get, you know, all this much money out of it. Good grief. It's, and then they want to raise up, they want to increase taxes on all of this. Just nuts. Insurance, those costs are increasing. It's just wild to think that the average payment has gone up by that much. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But that's where we're at right now. Yay, Biden. Those are Bidenomics right there. That's Bidenomics. Bidenomics at work. So this, I with younger voters, a lot of people are disillusioned. It makes me wonder what that's going to do to turnout with younger voters and some independents as well. Because younger voters particularly, they always try to make, when I was in college and high school, it was always rock the vote. But I don't think that moves people anymore. I think that's just cringe anymore. But are people going to be moved enough to go and vote themselves out of this mess? I mean, Republicans should be really messaging on this, but they're not, because everybody's involved in a slap fight over the primary. Instead of talking about these issues, we're talking about is who going to endorse this person? Is this lawmaker going to endorse this person? We're talking about all of this other stuff instead of talking about proper messaging that Republicans could have to lock up these younger voters and independents and moderates. And instead, we're focused on primary ego measuring contests. Just makes me just, I'm just disgusted. I'm so disillusioned by it all at this point. If the RNC doesn't get it together, then let it all burn and I'm going to watch popcorn, or I'm going to eat popcorn and watch it. I'm that fed up with all of it. So fed up with all of it. We've been talking about the split ticket voting and, you know, some of this other stuff going in the primary, because we're 30 something days out from Iowa. It's tough conversations. People get mad if you even have it. They get mad if you even have these conversations. It doesn't matter how bad you want to win in 2024. If you don't vote the way your friend does in the primary, then you're betraying America. You're not supposed to have choices in the primary. You're not supposed to do that. It has already been crowned. You're not allowed to have choices in America in a primary. That's not, ignore all that stuff. Ignore all of it. Just realize 2024 is it. I can't even imagine. Think about this. We have, what, a 2-seat majority now in the House. Nothing in the Senate. It's going to be a very, very competitive race congressionally. There are a lot of Senate seats that Republicans are going to have to defend. What happens? You lose the House. You lose the Senate. Say you don't get the White House. You have full on, say they have a blue wave. What happens economically? what happens with fiscal policy. All those IRS agents, get ready. Increased taxes, get ready. You're paying for everybody's college education, get ready. You're not going to be able to save for retirement, get ready. And then heaven knows what happens with any kind of foreign conflict. Good heavens. There's a lot of stuff at play here. I mean, you got Supreme Court packing. You have that rifle ban. They want to ban commonly owned semi-automatic rifles. Think about what's going to happen with your kids in schools. Think about what's going to happen with AI and DEI. Imagine the people feeding these algorithms their biased perspectives and AI being permanently set with that bias from the onset. Imagine how that works out. Just think about all of these. All these gains, gone. All of this to consider going into 2024. Now, a couple of other things. I was looking at this tweet from Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. So he tweeted this: "We have reason to believe Media Matters used fraud to solicit donations from Missourians in order to bully advertisers into pulling out of X. So they've launched an investigation." Kane, is it Christmas yet?
I feel like we're about to get a nice gift.
I feel like I'm unwrapping a present under the tree. Just feel like I am. This is amazing. Yeah. So pretty. Are we talking to him this week?
Yeah, we actually have Andrew Bailey on tomorrow.
Excellent. So we're going to discuss all this. This is all good news.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently now the people who left cities for peace and quiet of small towns, remember that was a big story, especially leading into the lockdown. Apparently now they have a lot of regrets about it. They said from 2020 to 2021, 85% of homebuyers aged 31 to 40 bought either in a suburb or a small town. Many of them left big cities for less costly homes, but they found that it wasn't worth the trade-off. So they said that they've been coming back to the cities after moving out. So why are you laughing?
Because they're like, what? We have to be self-sufficient? We have to rely on ourselves to survive?
Yeah, it's like watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia come to life. Right. They have to live out in the burbs. A grocery store clerk was killed after a customer impaled him with a golf club. In Minneapolis, a customer beat the guy and impaled him with a golf club. The 66-year-old clerk was attacked Friday at the Oak Grove Grocery, a small neighborhood store in a residential area downtown Minneapolis. The 44-year-old suspect is jailed on suspicion of murder. He impaled it right through the torso, right through his midsection. That's insane. I didn't even know that was... I mean, I guess you could with anything, but this is wild. Let's see. Recall is closed on three popular soft drinks distributed in Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. Diet Coke, Fanta Orange, and Sprite, all 12-ounce cans, apparently. So they said that no recall activities in the local... they said all the recalls were completed, but apparently they had a big recall on some of these cans. Why is it a headline if it's been completed? Don't waste my time with that. What in the world? All right. A driver was busted for you. A driver got busted for you in a USB cord as an impromptu tire chain. They said it's not accessible not acceptable. Driver in Washington State, they fined him. Wait, what? They said that his chains were improperly fitting and he used a USB to fix the issue. So?
Exactly.
And? Wait, why did they? Somebody spotted this? They had state patrol that spotted this vehicle. It was in the... I never say this pass right. Snoqualmie. I have to really think about it and then go for it. It was heavy snow. They said the chains were too small and they used a USB. We don't live in super snowy areas, so... Is that a thing that they can just look at your tires and be like, we don't think your chains are big enough. Sorry. You don't have big enough chains. And then how do you see that USB cord? If it's at dusk, you're driving in a snowstorm. How does a trooper see?
Sounds like an authoritarian state.
You think? That's wild to me. And there's ghost ships coming up on beaches and tourists are climbing on them. Be careful. We got Stephen Yates coming up next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
According to reporting from the Washington Post, citing multiple U.S. and industry security officials, China's cyber army is invading critical U.S. services, like an attempt to break into the system behind Texas's independent power grid. Other victims include a water utility in Hawaii, a West Coast port, and at least one oil and gas pipeline, according to that report you're seeing there. Brendan Wells, executive director of the Department of Homeland Security.
Not good. I mean, this isn't the first time they've done anything like this. I mean, there are those examples that were also given. The water system in Hawaii that was a huge red flag. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the program. You can watch Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. Joining us on this and other issues, our very good friend, Stephen Yates. And you can find him on X. I remember to say it this time, X, at YatesComs. It's so hard because it's like you keep saying tweet. You still say tweet. You can follow him online, Yates at YatesComs on X. He's the senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute and also chair of the China Policy Initiative. Stephen, always good to see you. This Chinese affiliated hacking group, as I understand it. And I was looking at the code name that they had for this thing. Because they've gone after Hawaii, Texas here. It's always these public utilities that they seem to be targeting. What do you make of this latest?
Well, it isn't the first time, and it is still a really important thing to track. There was a time when this kind of stuff would have been considered an act of war. This is really a number of ways that the Chinese Communist Party has tried to have the capability or actually act on trying to hurt America from the inside out. I would argue COVID was like that. I would argue fentanyl is like that. I would argue TikTok is like that. But these cyber vulnerabilities, something that we've known about for a long time, for whatever reason, our leaders in their infinite wisdom have not invested adequately in making sure that we are insulated against this kind of risk. So hopefully it's a wake-up call. I know from some personal experience, you guys lived through it, but not that long ago, there was an ice storm and there were other kinds of things that sort of shuts the whole area down. And that independent power grid of the Independent Republic of Texas is a big deal. And it's gonna take a lot of effort to protect against this kind of stuff. But it should come as news to no one that the Communist Party of China does this kind of stuff. And lest anyone try to say, oh, it's not them, it's just this independent group. Yeah, go ahead and have an independent hacker group make fun of Xi Jinping for like 0.1 seconds and see what happens to you. There is no free independent hacker group coming out of China.
Does it look like this is becoming more sophisticated? Because previously it seemed like it was just kind of political. But now, I mean, you're targeting public utilities is kind of that's very different.
No, this is a warning shot. If you're looking at a Taiwan scenario, which a lot of the world has, you're looking at what does the PRC need to do to make it so that America and its allies are less likely to intervene, less likely to make Taiwan more like a Ukraine rallying cause. And so if you are concerned about your electricity working at home, you'll care less about an island of 23 million free people thousands of miles away close to the People's Republic, which is an incredibly unflattering lens, but a very realistic one. And so if you're kind of a bloodthirsty Communist Party and you don't have any ethics or concerns about these kinds of things, you'd say, what would disrupt, disorient, and make Americans want to cry for mercy? And you know, having your power go out during cold months would be a nice way of trying to do that.
Oh, it's a power move. That's what I think everyone was always worried that Russia was going to do to different parts of Europe, particularly Germany, with their power. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates about this. I mean, I have several headlines here because now we've got more video of the Chinese Coast Guard using water cannons against Philippine ships. Yeah. Second day now. This isn't the first time that they've done this either. And this was, they had a supply boat that was rammed by them. It's weird. Their tactics are these, It reminds me of siblings fighting. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Technically, they're not touching you, but they're right there. Right there in your space. That's kind of what this seems to be. It's like they're trying to go right up to that line.
Yeah, well, those water cannons are no playing around. Anybody who wants to watch the video, I think that's circulating out there on YouTube, Rumble, and elsewhere to check out. I mean, these are high power projectiles coming across, and anyone who wants to see whether their skin will stay on them when they get blasted by this water cannon, go ahead and give it a shot. It's no fooling around. And this is harassment at the very least. And again, who in the world woke up and was worried the Philippines were going to invade them?
Right.
Who in the world thought that the Philippines was going to do anything other than overtake the karaoke world or somehow win some kind of a singing contest because they seem to have the best singers in the world? But, you know, this is an aggressive China picking on a decidedly non-aggressive neighbor. I mean, they can say what they want about the Japanese people. There's history there. I don't feel very threatened by the Japanese people, but this is the Philippines. My goodness. And they had a government that was willing to roll out the red carpet and play nice with them. And this is the thanks that they get.
Yeah. We're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates. You can find him at YatesComs on X. We've talked about this story before, right when it first came out, but now it's official. The Italian government has delivered a formal note to the Chinese government. This happened late last week, saying that they are opting out of renewing its agreement to be part of that Belt and Road Initiative, which is seen as a pretty big blow, obviously, to China, because when Italy joined, that was a huge achievement for them to crow about. I mean, they got a major European nation to join Belt and Road. But now, they said that they've noticed there's, you know, a lot of, it didn't really, Italy was right in noting that it didn't really work out for them. It wasn't a very advantageous deal. There was trade imbalance, all kinds of stuff. So what does this mean now? What significance does this have in your, because they've been, I mean, whether it's been, you know, communications networks, a number of other things, I mean, they've still been trying to make inroads into these European nations in other ways. How significant is this, and what are the repercussions going to be, do you think?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. It's not the giant leap in the right direction that I would yearn for, in the sense that at least it's a sort of a sobriety checkpoint. Italy was a big coup for the Communist Party to get them on board with this Belt and Road Initiative. They also got nuked by the Rona more than any other part of Europe. There was a high concentration of COVID cases very early in the pandemic because the Chinese had hijacked the textile industry in northern Italy.
In Prato. And they took over the leatherworks.
Exactly,
they took over
right.
textiles. It was a huge, huge scandal in the fashion industry because a lot of these high-end labels, they said made in Italy, but it was Chinese-run factories with a lot of illegal Chinese immigrants with flights direct from Wuhan.
Yep. And it brought cheap labor in, took jobs from the Italians. And you always knew you could rely on me to keep you up on the fashion industry. But what it means in the greater European context is old Europe, as Don Rumsfeld famously referred to it, has been really equidistant about America and China. They sort of don't make us choose. We don't want to be in this bipolar competition. It's a distributed world. It sounds very professorial, but the reality of it is parts of the political systems in these countries are waking up to the secondary consequences of dealing with China. You get the sugar high of what sounds like investment coming in and you're engaging this big market. But then when you deal with the year after year reality, you're not increasing your exports to their country in a meaningful way. And a lot of flies came in when you opened the window to this into your own country, politically, economically, and as it turned out, health-wise. So I think it's an important turn, but we shouldn't kid ourselves. It's still going to take a long ways to get Europe to wise up to what it needs to do with regard to the China threat, just like it's taken a long time to get America to wake up to it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's weird as like the Commonwealth, the British Commonwealth looks like it's retracting, and you would have China's Belt and Road expanding, which is a kind of a terrifying, scary comparison a little. So it's good to see some of these countries, you know, kind of shrug off this sugar high being offered by China? Because first you get the sugar high, then you get the cavities later. Yeah. What does it look like? Because I know a lot of South American nations, they were trying to make a lot of inroads into South America. Is that still, I mean, are they still finding success with that, with Belt and Road?
They are in too many areas. And of course, as you've tracked, I mean, a lot of these governments have gone woke or gone to the international left direction. One of the biggest losses in terms of lost opportunity was Brazil, which had, I thought, a populist leader that was on the right side of capitalism. Now with Argentina, we have, I think, an even more full-throated revival of anti-wokeism and kind of will push back against China. And the new leader of Argentina has been pretty explicit in extending the middle finger in China's direction, which I find outstanding, and I give him a full salute. But Brazil's a major economy with major natural resources that would help balance a lot of our dependencies upon the People's Republic of China with key supply chain issues from pharmaceuticals to a whole host of other areas. But under the wrong government, under Lula, it goes in the other direction. So China and Iran and Moscow have sought opportunism there. And I think we need to take a completely different approach to this hemisphere, work with those who want to work with us. I mean, it helps on the immigration issue. It helps with resetting the supply chains and dependencies. And it also just had added virtue of being the right thing to do. But hopefully we'll get political outcomes in Latin America that are more like the Argentina, that shock the liberal sensitivities, but really are a wake-up call to pay attention to our own hemisphere in the right way.
There you go. I hope that's true. Our good friend, Stephen Yates at YatesComms, always such a pleasure to have you. And we hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful new year. Thank you so much for joining us every week this past year. We so appreciate you and your family. God bless you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Dana. Much appreciated. Take care.
You too.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I can tell you that by the end of this week, that is actually factual. I will have made more money in 7 days than I would have made an entire year in Congress.
Wow. Just by doing those little videos. What kind of videos has he done? Because can you go up and see? That's George Santos. Can you go up and see all the videos that he's done?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, it's interesting. I'd almost pay for him to do a video where he glues sideburns on his face and starts acting and does like a quick thing as the new Argentinian leader. That guy who just got elected. He's got some serious chops. Literally, his like hair on the side of his face. It's like thick like carpet. Just like goes right. It's like perfect. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Well, I mean, you know what? For the people slamming George Santos over this, at least he's being honest and he's making his money on Cameo and not with like special interest money or lobbying, lobbyist money. Because all these other people act like they're just so, like the Nancy Pelosi's, they act like they're just so holy. This is because you just don't know what they're doing. That's why. What? How is this woman go from never working in the private sector a day in her life to she's a member of Congress and she's a multimillionaire, and she's even that without her rich husband? And there's a lot of questions on that. So at least he's being honest about it. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that we started the show with, that we had mentioned, this News Guard company. Remember this company? It was started in 2018. I'll have this linked in your show email for tomorrow morning. But they were supposed to be, they were NewsGuard, if you remember. This came out about the time they really started pushing a lot of the, we need to check and see if this is fake news or not, right? The Nina Jankowicz, the Ministry of Truth, all that stuff. But they were supposed to be like this ombudsman, like this misinformation measure, the gold standard. But it was financed by the State Department. Why would a State Department be financing something? I know it's a rhetorical question, but why would they be financing something like this? They apparently, editors found that, New York Post said that editors who engaged with NewsGuard found that the company made super bizarre demands that would unfairly tarnish an entire site as untrustworthy for straying from the official government narrative. They said that one website was The Daily Skeptic, and it's a libertarian-leaning British site. And the editor reached out to NewsGuard wanting to improve their rating, which was 74%. And NewsGuard went after the website's criticism of lockdowns. They called their criticism of lockdowns, quote, unnecessary, ineffective, and harmful. And they were trying to say that lockdowns stopped the spread. That's literally what they tried to argue. And this was even after overwhelming evidence showed otherwise. And they even downgraded his, after he raised this issue with NewsGuard, as a punishment, NewsGuard lowered their rating from 74% to 37% as a penalty for trying to correct them. And apparently all of these other editors are coming out saying that, oh yeah, that's exactly our experience. And remember, this administration had labeled what they called misinformation to be a national security threat. So this is a Pravda enterprise, a very Pravda-esque enterprise. So you have a number of entities that have filed suit, including some states that have filed suit, saying that this was just a proxy to engage in censorship. The Pentagon had an almost $1 million contract with NewsGuard to identify false narratives regarding the war between Ukraine and Russia. And they were actually censoring and trying to rate independent, like actual independent news entities, and saying that they were untrustworthy if they were criticizing the federal government's position on things. This is like a terrifying new world. And you're going to get more of this if we lose in 2024. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
It's our commander in chief, Mr. Joe Biden. He came up with a new number today.
Yeah, my favorite.
And apparently, it's an effective number. Let's hear what he, how much money is this? Listen.
Over $1.3 trillion. Whoa. Trump just talks and talks. We walk
million.
The walk.
$1.3 trillion.
Much math.
A lot of money. I don't know how much that is, but that's our president.
That's so math. So math. Folks, that does it for us for our program today. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back on here with you tomorrow. Have a great night.